Have you ever wondered how someone you admire became successful in their professional life, but also in their personal life? What does it take to become not only an outstanding leader, but an outstanding person? Welcome to Leaders Unplugged, a show that explores professional and personal leadership through conversations with leaders, regardless of where they are in their career. I'm Nicole Boilin. Joy Dorsey is the founder and director of Be Move Yoga and Wellness Center. Prior to opening her own studio, she spent 10 years as the general manager of the Downward Dog Yoga Center in Toronto. She started at Downward Dog by cleaning the studio in exchange for teacher training and then quickly moved up to management. Joy is unflinchingly honest about her struggles to become who she is today. I met with Joy in her studio in Brantford, Ontario. So hi, Joy.
Hi, Nicole.
We are sitting cross-legged on the floor in Joy's studio. Mm. I thought we'd start the conversation with an intention. Do you like that idea?
Yeah, I do like that
idea. So why don't you think about that? And what could our intention be for this conversation?
Your theme is about leadership for women, right? Young women, or all women?
I think young women need role models.
Yes.
Positive role models. So what I'm hoping these conversations do is give them a sense of all the different types of leaderships that are out there with women that have done all kinds of things at different points in their career.
I think that maybe we could bring in the intention of being a mentor. Right, it's like what does that role entail? It's a big responsibility.
Have you been a mentor for others?
I have.
I bet.
I have.
So tell me a little bit about that.
Some of the things that I do as much as I own the yoga studio, Be Moved, but I'm also a recovery coach, and I work with people who are in recovery from challenges with addiction, food and body, family members with addiction. And so that role has taken me to a place where I have mentored people, whether it's with the professional as a coaching, but also I think even in my own personal life, and part of my recovery process was about mentoring others and the idea of being in service.
So you talk about your own recovery process.
So
what does that mean?
So I got sober over 14 years ago.
Okay.
And so this is part of my journey, and part of my story was that this has been my recovery journey. And so being in that process, I've had the opportunity to be mentored many times and to mentor others. And I also think that being a yoga teacher is about being a mentor as well. That there's a certain responsibility that comes along with leading groups of people and teaching them. And I don't think that it means that I have to be perfect. Thank goodness.
Perfection is dull.
Yes, it's very dull. It's very dull. But there's a responsibility that comes along with teaching groups of people or working with somebody one-on-one. And offering, and a lot of it comes about offering your experience, right?
And the recovery process, I'm assuming, is not only physical, but it's emotional.
Yes, yes.
It's multifaceted.
Yeah, it's multifaceted. And so sometimes you need different mentors for different things, right? It's not necessarily about finding one person who's going to be the mentor or the mentor for your life. So much as, in some of the 12-step programs, you have a sponsor, which would be the mentor, right? And one of the things that one of my first sponsor, who I had for about 5 years, who was absolutely wonderful, she played a really big role in my sobriety, and she would say to me, Joy, you can't go to the hardware store to buy oranges, right? So meaning I had to go to the right person who had the thing that I needed or wanted so that I could get it from them.
And so it's like team Joy.
Yes, you have a team. Uh-huh. You definitely need a team. You definitely need a team.
And that's where the community becomes very important.
Yeah, Yeah, it does. Actually, when I first started doing yoga in Toronto, it was a small little tiny studio on
Where
Queen.
Where were you in your recovery when you started doing yoga?
I was like 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah. And then when I was in AA, I met this guy who was friends with Diane at Downward Dog in Toronto. Ron Reed and Diane Bruni, they started Downward Dog. I think now the studio is almost 20 or 25 years old. It's one of the first yoga studios in Canada.
Exactly.
And they started with the Ashtanga yoga tradition. That's like what they were all practicing at that time, Mysore. And, you know, Ron and Diane were dedicated practitioners. And so because of that, they cultivated people around them who were also very dedicated practitioners. And it just created this, like...
movement.
A movement. So if you know Diane Bruni, she's a mover and a shaker and a pot stirrer. And that's one of the things that's so amazing about her, because she's like a trailblazer.
And you were there how long?
I was there for 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you were there taking classes.
I became the general manager.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So I started, when I started to realize that I needed to get out of the bar, because I think maybe about a year or so into it, I started to realize that it was sucking my energy. Like, I couldn't hear the ridiculous jokes anymore, the drunken jokes. And like, I couldn't be around the booze energy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I had started taking classes at Downward Dog, and I was through my 12-step program, I had met this gentleman who kind of became like a father figure to me. And so I had an opportunity to live at his place for not a lot of rent, in exchange for watching his home while he would go away for the wintertime.
Nice.
Yeah, so like all these things happened.
Then
I started cleaning at Downward Dog in exchange for classes and my teacher training. So I was cleaning the studio.
Okay.
And then they needed a receptionist.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I started working reception. And then I moved. I did that for like, I don't know, 4 months or something. And then the boyfriend that I was dating at the time, we had decided to move up to Sault Ste. Marie for the summer.
Okay.
Because the gentleman who owned the house also owned a house up at Sault Ste. Marie.
Oh.
So we were going to go up there and get jobs. So I told Diana, I was like, I'm going to quit. You know, I really appreciate the opportunity, but she was like, don't quit. Just go for the summer and we'll see what happens.
Wise lady.
Yes. So then I get a call near the end of the summer that the woman who was the manager at the time had decided that she wanted to move on. And so they were wondering if I would take over the position. And I was like...
Were you surprised?
Yeah, because what do I know?
You were the receptionist and
yes,
just left
yes,
for the summer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Diane's a powerful lady.
Mm-hmm. She saw something in you.
Yeah, and yes, and so she kind of took me under her wing and helped and taught me a lot about business. That's like,
so it comes back to the early intention for this conversation, the importance of mentorship.
Yeah, yeah.
She was a mentor for you.
She was a mentor for me. You know, she would come in every day and she would do her practice. And after she was done her practice, she would come, we'd go into the office. We would spend an hour, maybe two, talking. And she was mentoring me personally as much as professionally in the business. She always made time for both. And then, you know, she would say like, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. I want you to do this. And I'd be like, okay. And then she would leave. And then I would try to, you know, do what I knew and... I didn't know how to use Excel or like any of that kind of stuff even. It's crazy. And
so it wasn't only the yoga practice that she mentored you in.
No.
It's office administration, management.
Well, she didn't know how to do any of that stuff. She was just sort of like, I think you'll be able to figure it out. And I was like, okay.
She had confidence that you'd figure it out.
Yeah.
She didn't want to do it probably.
That's right.
yeah.
She sold her shares to her business partner And then I stayed on for maybe another year or so. But I think I had also outgrown the job and the business. And so it was becoming less enjoyable. And I had met in the time that my dad died, around all that time, I had met my husband. Mm-hmm. And so things just started to change. And then I got pregnant. And, you know, we had Angelica. And then after we had Angelica, that's when I was like, okay, what am I doing? Like, Toronto's so expensive.
Yeah.
And so we had already bought a house, actually, in Brantford. So we were going to do some other things with it, which didn't quite work out. And so we had a house. It was just sitting here. Meanwhile, we're paying, like, ridiculous amount of rent in Toronto. And so we were like, we should just move into the house that we own in Brantford. And then I could still commute to Toronto, do, like, 2 days a week.
Yeah.
So I was doing that for a while. And, you know, the train and everything.
Oh, I know.
Oh, it's okay. It's not bad.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I just started to feel like I just started to feel really scattered. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the decision to actually start the business, this business.
Which has been about a year now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it what you expected?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. Because I had run a yoga studio in Toronto, I know the challenges of running a yoga business.
What are some of those?
Many different types of yoga, and people don't really know what yoga is. So they think it's either just stretching, or they think it's just like hot yoga, or they think it's just meditating. So they don't necessarily think that it's what I do.
And what do you do that is unique to you?
The way I see it is that the yoga practice should be a way to pull us more deeply into our bodies versus push you further away, right? It's not like it's not a space out session. I'm not going to come and like just like space out and we're going to work.
What are some of the other challenges?
Well, for me, it's all the, so my challenge is about how do I bring together all of the things that I want to do? That's part of the challenge, right? Which I think we all probably share, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because oh, yeah. I don't want to do just one thing.
No.
Right? I wouldn't be happy just teaching yoga all the time. Uh-huh. Right? Just teaching yoga classes. So the challenge is how much time can I spend teaching yoga? How much time do I spend coaching? How much time can I spend learning? Like just doing my own personal learning, my own personal practice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, how do I kind of marry the two, the business? Like, so I have my recovery coach, mm-hmm. and then I have like Be Moved. How do I bring those together? So some of the things I've been thinking about is offering some like recovery sessions here at the studio where, there would be a, like more of a strong focus that's what it's about. It's about recovery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because right now it's very much about
just yoga.
The Be Moved yoga movement.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not all the time, but you know, maybe doing like a one session, a group session, mm-hmm. a week.
Where do you see yourself in 5-10 years from now?
Well, one of the things I'm doing, I'm actually taking a course at Ryerson right now.
Of course, because you have, you know, not enough to do or projects going on.
I know. It's a addictions care to care workers diploma.
Okay.
And the idea is that I could really marry these two pieces more so that I could really feel like I could be counseling people. But using movement and doing this type of thing. So it's interesting just in the last, I have another mentor, of course, because I have many. this woman's name is Dani Lynn, and she's sort of been my energetic spiritual mentor. In my last session with her, it was sort of like, I don't know what my voice is. This is my shtick, right? Like, I don't know what my voice is. And she's like, Joy, you got to own your cause. Like this is sort of, we all have causes, mm-hmm. right? The mm-hmm. thing from our own personal experience that makes something important to us. And for me, it's addiction. So I don't know if I'm actually balancing everything. Like it does, sometimes it feels like just like a hot potato. Just a hot potato. And
so what do you do when it gets too hot? The potato gets too hot.
Well, sometimes I have a meltdown.
What does that look like for you?
Oh, it's usually James. Poor James.
I like this guy already.
Poor James. It's like, you know, sometimes there's some crying and there's like the hopeless. Like, it's not, you know.
Yeah, a real good meltdown.
Yeah, a really good meltdown. Yeah. And nothing's going to work out and we should just like give up like that, you know. Mm-hmm. I can go there sometimes. and then it always comes around. And then I go, okay, so.
What does he do to support you when you're going through a moment like that? What brings you back?
You know, honestly, my experience has been that I have never really found that anybody can bring me back from that place. Mm-hmm. That I have to kind of go off on my own, do my thing, and then I always come around. That's kind of how I work. So he knows that as well. Yeah. So he doesn't overly engage in the meltdown.
Wise guy.
He doesn't overly engage in the meltdown.
Gives you the room.
Yeah, well, because otherwise it's just, you know, it's not going to be fun. So, and then, But he's so supportive. He believes in me. 5,000%. And that's the thing he keeps coming back to. He's like, you just have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in yourself. He has utmost confidence that this is where we're going. And I have more doubt and fear. Are you sure? It's like, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's working, or I don't think I can do it. I don't, you know. Or like nobody cares, or like those are my insecurities, you know. Yeah,
but you keep on going.
Yeah, I do. I keep on going, and that was also my experience with recovery. I had a lot of meltdowns and like tantrums as like in the recovery path, and a lot of times where I felt like giving up.
Okay.
And you know, I'd go off on my own, have my time, I'd always come around, go back to my meetings, or go back to therapy, go back to the path. Yeah.
What would you tell your 18-year-old self?
Oh, boy. That poor girl. I would tell her that I would want her to know that she's okay. She's okay. Like, she's actually okay. She's lovable. She's smart.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And to tell her that there's lots of people out there who care about her.
What advice would you have for young emergent female leaders that are trying to figure it out, that are 18, 19, 20?
God, that age, I'd say you have so much time. You know, don't try to figure it out. At that age, you know, it's like, I know.
So what should they be doing? Because there's so much pressure, huh?
There's so much pressure to be. I think that was some of the stuff with me as well, was sort of like by 18 or 19, you have to like figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life. It's too much pressure, you know? But there's like, that there is time, that the pressure just builds into that, the stress of life, right? Like, and then this is the reason why we have like addiction and eating, is like all these eating problems. Instead of, you know, I don't necessarily think you can fight against it, but maybe there's something that they want to do and go and explore or learn or travel. And no, like, you, school's always going to be there.
School's not necessarily the answer.
No. God, no. Like, you know, look at Diane, for example. You know, it's like, I don't, maybe she finished high school. Maybe. You know, she's a very successful woman.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not necessarily the answer. And lots of people go to school, don't get jobs. So it's not to say, you know, that it's not important or, but it's not a guarantee. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
And there's other paths. There's other ways.
So many paths, and they're gonna, even if they make a plan, it's going to change anyway. It's like,
and that's okay.
Yeah, and that's okay. That's great.
It's all part of it.
Yeah, it's all part of the process.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Joy.
Thank you, Nicole. Thank you for asking me.
Joy has had an incredible journey so far and truly believes she is not unique. Her honesty is grounded in the fact that by sharing her story, she hopes to help others along the way. I was humbled by her courage and resilience.
If you want to listen to more conversations like this one, look for Leaders Unplugged at iTunes, Google Play, or NicoleConsulting.com. I also want to thank our producer, Josie Guimont, and our editor, Graham Harris. Until next time, I'm Nicole Boivin.